You want that concert?
This is it. This is the shoe. No, this is Henny's. It's not it. I gave him my face and never got it.
The olive oil, so this one, they never return you thing. I'm going to be a good one.
What happened?
The Gemara explains in Megillah that the Chachamim were misakin the Yontif of Purim for 2 days. Both the 14th and the 15th of Adar are the Yontif of Purim. The only thing is that if you live in a near Hamukef Eschayim and Moshe Shubinun, if you live in Shushan, on Yerushalayim and near Hamukef Eschayim, then you fulfill your mitzvah on Tezvot, on Shushan Purim. And if you live in New York or in any other city, then you have to fulfill a mitzvah on Yom Yudalim. But really, both days are Yontif Purim. Meinaf Kemina. So the Gemara says that both days are also behesped of the Tainus. And on both days, our meaning is that we don't say Tachna. Because really, both days are really the Yontif. The only thing is the Chacham and Masakein, that these people should fulfill the Kiyumia mitzvahs on those days, and those people should fulfill the mitzvahs on the other days. In fact, when you have a Shana Muberes, when you have an Ibayor, and you have other Rishon and other Sheni, so then the Gemara declares that all 4 days are Purim, both Yudalad and Tezvav and other Rishon, and Yudalad and Tezvav and other Sheni, all 4 days are considered Yom Tov Purim, and all 4 days are also behesped of the Tainis, and you omit the Tachnun. The only thing is that we fulfill the mitzvahs only on one out of those 4 days, like let's say Pesach is really a Yom Tov of 7 days in Eretz Yisrael. Here in America it's 8 days, and we fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah on the first day. You have the Haggadah, the Seder is on the first day, but it's not that Pesach is only 1 day. Pesach is really 7 days or 8 days in Chutz Laretz, and you have to do these mitzvahs on day number one, the night of the first day. So here also Purim is really 2 days, or sometimes Purim is 4 days, if it's a Shana Muberes, and you have to fulfill the mitzvahs on one out of the 2 days, or one out of the 4 days. Gradle about this Tachnun, that on all 4 days, or on both days of Purim, we don't recite Tachnun, that's really two opinions in the Torah, in Orech Chaim. One opinion in the Torah is that you do say Tachnun. He quotes from the Goyim that what better day is there to recite Tachnun than Purim? The day on which they were fighting against their enemies and they were praying to Hashem His birth to give them the Yeshua, and He answered their prayers. So on that day that their prayers were answered, so we should also daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Trinis, and He should answer our prayers.
Doesn't that would apply to the 13th?
That's
right.
The
Tainus.
That's right.
The 14th is your mission. A time? So the Torah quotes the Gainim that they said, they write the Minig Bishtei Yeshivas in Surah and Pumbedisa. The Minig was that they used to say Tachnun on Purim. Our meaning is that we don't say Tachnun. But Grada, it's not just because, let's say on Yom HaTzmut, so when people discuss how to celebrate Yom HaTzmut. So some places they say Tachna and they say Hal. So they say that's a contradiction. How can you say Tachna and Hal? It's not Alpidin, it's not such a contradiction. And Purim, the Goinim write that in their Shtei Yeshivas, in Surim Pumdisa, they used to say Tachna and Purim. And they used to recite, and they used to read the Megillah. And the Gemara says that reading of the Megillah constitutes a Kriya Sahala. That's the way we Yotze Halal. The Gemara has one opinion that really on Purim you're obligated to recite Halal, just like on Hanukkah. And we Yotze the Kriya Sahalal by reading the Megillah. So you see that according to the Goyim, it's not really a contradiction in Din. That just because he's saying Halal doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to say Tachnun. According to the Minig, it's a contradiction. The Minig is that on Purim we don't say Tachnun, and on Chol HaMoed Pesach and so on. Whenever you have any slight Yontif Kol Dehu, you don't say Tachnun. So the Minig has it that this is a contradiction. Either it's a happy day or it's a sad day. If it's a happy day, then you can discuss saying Halal, and then you have to leave out the Tachnun. And if it's a sad day, what shaykh to say Halal? But Al Pidin, strictly speaking, it doesn't really constitute a contradiction. Now exactly when does the Yontif of Purim begin? So we all assume that the Yontif begins like every other Yontif, like Shabbos begins B'tchilas HaLaila, and Yontif always begins at evening. When the night begins, usually we would assume that Wednesday is Tainus Esther, so Wednesday night is the beginning of Purim. That's the way Alpi Pashtus we assume. Rav Soloveitchik used to be very fond of quoting the Meiri, Masachas Megillah on Daf Dalei, where the Meiri has an awkward statement that the holiday really begins the morning of Tezva, the morning of Yud Dalei. Purim begins the morning of Thursday morning. Wednesday night is not Purim. Wednesday night is the night before Purim. Purim begins, it's only a Yontif in the morning. What did the Meiri say that led Rav Soloveitchik to believe like this? The Miri is discussing the issue of Shehecheyonu and Kriyas HaMegillah on the morning of Purim. And the same Shailan Rosh Hashanah by Tkiyas Shofar. and you blow shofar on the first day, so you say shachyanu because you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar for a whole year. And the klal is, whenever you have a mitzvah, habom, izman, lizman, the mitzvah hasn't been fulfilled for a long, long time. So then you say shachyanu. You don't say shachyanu when you put on a talis every morning, when you put on tefillin every morning, because you're used to that already. So we're not so excited when we put on the talis and tefillin, because we just put on talis and tefillin yesterday. And even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't put on tefillin. And by the chassidim, they don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So a whole week goes by, let's say they haven't put on tefillin from before Pesach to after Pesach, so 8 days have elapsed. Still, they don't say shachyanu because they just put on tefillin a week and a half ago. So there's no great excitement. But if the mitzvah habom is man is man from year to year, then it requires that you have to say shachyanu when fulfilling that mitzvah. So when it comes to the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so we blow shofar and we say shachyanu. On the night of Rosh Hashanah, you say shachyanu in Kiddush, that's Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Tov. And the Gemara says, even if you weren't to be reciting Kiddush, even if you don't have any wine and you're not eating, you still say shachyanu. Shachyanu emra afilu bashuk. Shachyanu really relates to the fact that you madalepta Yom Tov, that you've lived to celebrate Yom Tov. So on the night of Rosh Hashanah, you say shachyanu on the Yom Tov. On the morning of Rosh Hashanah, when the Baal Tekeh blow shofar, so he says shachyanu on the occasion of fulfilling the mitzvah, which is bo mizman lizman. What happens on the second? So on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, as fake of the yomer, so we say vayte shachyanu for the Yom Tov. What about on the morning, the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Should we say shachyanu in connection with the tkiyah shofar? We just did tkiyah shofar yesterday, which was a real mitzvah deraisa. So today we have a sveka de yomer. Do we still have that excitement that we should say shachyanu? So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam against all the other poskim. The Rambam quoted by the Mechaber, and that's the meaning of the Sfardim, holds their sheet is that they only say shachyanu on the first day. They don't say shachyanu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And the Ramah, that's the meaning that's generally followed by the Ashkenazim, says that you do say shachyanu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah and tkiyah shofar. The same machlokes applies over here to Gabi Kriyas HaMegillah. On the night of Purim, when the Baal Kori reads the Megillah, everybody agrees that you say the three brachas, the bracha on Mikra Megillah, then you say the bracha Shasim Nisim Avasim, and then the third bracha is Shehechiyonu Vikimonu Vigyonu Lazman Azeh, because you haven't heard the Megillah in a whole year. Since last Purim, you haven't heard Kriyas on the Megillah. Shailas, what about when we read the Megillah in the morning, do we repeat the Shehechiyonu again or not? So it's vital, the same achloikas. The Rambam quoted by the Mechaber, and that's the psak of the Sfardim, is that they don't repeat the shachyanu in the morning. They just did the mitzvah last night. What are they so excited about now in the morning? There's no great excitement. They just did the mitzvah half a day ago. So there's no need to repeat shachyanu. And the Ramah, paskins like the Bali Atesvis, and the Gilad Avdala and Aleph, that you do repeat shachyanu in the morning. So the Shaila is, how come? Why should one repeat shachyanu when you read the Megillah in the morning? So Tesis gives one reason, and the Miri quotes the psak of Tosis, and he gives, goes off on his own merry way, gives his own reason. Tosis gives the reason that the Iker, Kriyas HaMegillah, is by Yom. In America, the minig of America is Fakir. Here the minig is that Balayla, the night of Purim, everybody comes to Shul. In the morning, only the religious people who come to Shul every day, so they come to Shul in the morning. So Tosis points out that the din is just the reverse, that the Iker, Kriyas HaMegillah, really is by Yom. It doesn't have to be at the 6 o'clock minig. You can have a 12 o'clock minyan, you can have a 3 o'clock in the afternoon minyan also, all day long. Kriyas HaMegillah is called Ayayim. And if a person missed the Kriyas HaMegillah in the minyan in the morning, he has a chance to fulfill a mitzvah all day long, up until Shkia, up until sunset. So the Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by the Tosfos, Davdala Min Aleph Megillah, says that the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah really is by Yom. And that's what the Mishnah speaks of in Megillah. And the Mishnah never mentions you have to read the Megillah the night before Purim, the night of Purim. And Rabbi Shua ben Levi in the Gemara has this chiddush that in addition to the Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom, you have to also read the Megillah by Laila. That's the memory of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, not found in a Mishnah, it's not found in a Braise, it's a chiddush of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Chayav Adam likras HaMegillah by Laila, Ulishan Oysa by Yom, has to read the Megillah the night of Purim and repeat the Megillah in the morning of Purim. So the Rabbi Natam says the Iker Kriya is by Yom, so that's why you say Shachyonu when you repeat the Megillah, when you read it in the morning. What exactly is the Rabbi Natan driving at? Why does that indicate that the Iker Kriya is by Yom? So the Shagasarye in the Sefer on Megillah in the Turi Evin has a comment, his famous interpretation of Tosis. He says that what Tosis is driving at is the following. I mean, that Yehuda has this, another. This is an idea that's found in Achronim. And Rishonim, none of the Rishonim apparently have this Mefurish. In fact, some of them have the Feirish Vakir. But in Achronim, this is a popular idea of Shlomo. The Vilna has like this. Another Achronim has. That what the Rabbi Natan is driving at is the following, that when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made this takana to lay in the Megillah, they were only misakin kriya bayom. They were never misakin kriya in Megillah balayim. And that's why it doesn't appear in the Mishnah. The Mishnah Megillah lists off mitzvahs that are supposed to be fulfilled bayom, and other mitzvahs that are supposed to be fulfilled dafke balayim. On the Mashal, Sfira Soimer is only balayim, Ketzira Soimer is only balayim, and Hakrova Soimer is only bayom. And different mitzvahs. Halal is only bayom. It can't be yotzi halal balayim. Let's say the night of Shavuos, I want to say halal in order to be yotzi halal for the first day. So the Gemara says you're not yotzi. Or Chanukah, I have no time. I'll be in a rush tomorrow morning by the davening, so I want to daven up as much as I can balayim. So the Mishnah says you can't do that. Halal must be recited dafke bayom. It cannot be recited balayim. So the Mishnah listing off different mitzvahs that is manan bayom. And different mitzvahs that is manah balaylo lists off kriyas ha-megillah as a mitzvah she's manah bayom, and it doesn't list off. So why is megillah bayom? There's one megillah bayom, one megillah balaylo. Like krishma, there's one krishma bayom, one krishma balaylo. Why does it only mention the one megillah which is bayom? So the Shagasari claims in his sefer, along with a group of other achrenim, that of Yehuda and of Shlomo the Vilna and several other gedoli achrenim, that's the pshat, that this was only instituted in the days of Rabbi Shulman Levi the Amoro, who lived after the times of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, after the times of the Tanaim. He wasn't even a Tana, he was an Amora. In the days of the Chachmei HaGemara, they were Mechadish this Din Derabbanan, which is on a lower level of Chiyuv than the Chiyuv of Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. Chiyuv Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom, one can label as a Dibri Kabbalah. We must have once discussed there are really three levels of mitzvahs. We usually divide the mitzvahs into two categories: there's a mitzvah Deraisa and a mitzvah Derabbanan. So the Rishonim have developed an in-between category, a mitzvah derabbanan, which is recorded in the Vimuk Suvim. So it has the approval of the Bezun Shamayim, it has the approval of HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaShamayim, who gave the one who was writing the Vimuk Suvim, he gave him a divine inspiration to write this into the Sefer, Beruach HaKadosh or B'nevuah, to include this Din derabbanan. So the Rishonim and the Poskim say la'alacha, that you have a middle level, something here for in between the Rais and the Rabbanon, that we call a Dibre Kabbalah. It's not called Dibre Torah with Dibre Kabbalah. The Dibre Kabbalah means a Din Derabbanan, which is recorded in the Vimuk Suvim. Whatever is written in Chumash is a Din Deraisa. Unless it would say that Moshe Rabbeinu invented a Din, then it's only a Din Derabbanan. But it says the Rabbanu Shlom gave the Din to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a Din Deraisa. Whatever is found in the Gemara, not based on a Din Deraisa, is a Din Derabbanan. Whatever is mentioned in the Vimuk Suvim, a Din Derabbanan, which is recorded, that's called Dibre Kabbalah. And we are Machmir. When we get to Dibre Kabbalah, sometimes we give it the status of Dibre Torah. So here, the Shagasari claims that this is the Kavanah of Tosfos. What does the Rabbi Natan mean when he says that the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom, and somehow the Kriya Balayla is of a secondary nature, the Iker Kriya is only Bayom? So the Shagasari says that's the Pshat, that the Kriya Bayom is Medibre Kabbalah, not Stam Adin the Rabbanah. That's a Din the Rabbanah that's mentioned in the Megillah Sester. Megillah Sester is part of Kisvi HaKadosh. Asheni came. Okimu v'kibul aleim al zaram divi adzom etzvazar kosm. It doesn't really say there the kriyas hamigilah. Rather, it doesn't say the feirish. That's a big problem. It never really says in the Megillah Esther. Right. But lios osu means to have the suda. Right. Right. So it says mishloach mana shtei b'feirish. Matanos la'yam shtei. And sudas purim also says. That's Beferish the Suda. But the Kriyas HaMegillah doesn't say so. The Gemara says that the phrase that appears in the Megillah that says, Ayanam Ho'ela Nizkarim V'Na'asim, the word Nizkarim means to mention the story of Esther. Nizkarim means Lahaskir, not Ayanam Ho'ela these days are remembered. The Gemara says that's not the correct translation. The proper, like Zohar, what does it mean Zohar? So the Gemara says, Yachu Balei, doesn't mean you should remember. Talmalai Malai Sishka, the last two words in that parashas Kiseitze says, don't forget. So what does it mean Zohar, remember? If it says don't forget, so maybe we will remember. So the Gemara says, no, Zohar Bepeh. Need more quotes of Brisa from the Sifre. So what does it mean Zohar Bepeh? Lahazakir, mention the story of Amalek, not remember the story. Oh, by Kiddush it says, Zohar Sam Shabbos Lekatshoi. So it doesn't mean remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy. Means Zachrehu Alayah means mention the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos. And the same thing by Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim. It says Leman Tizikor Esem Tzeis Cham Yeretzan Koy Mecha Yecho. So the Haggadah says Mecha Yecho Hayom Koy Mecha Haleilos. So from that pasuk we derive that there is a mitzvah in HaTorah to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every day by Yom HaBalayla. Why? Because Leman Tizikor is not translated that we, in order that we should remember Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. No, in order that we should mention Lamant Hizkor means in order that we should be Mazikir, we should mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every day and every night of our lives. So here too, in the Megillah it says, Vayomer Ha'elah Nizkorim V'Na'asim, means that we tell the story of Esther by Kriyas HaMegillah, and Na'asim, and we celebrate Purim by Shalach Manas and Matanas Lagyanim and the Suras Purim. So the Gemara says that is the whole mocker. It's not so beferish. That is the whole mocker of Kriyas HaMegillah in the Megillah Sester. It says, Hayom Ha'ila Nizkorim, and Nizkorim means that these days are mentioned. Oh, so the Shagasari claims that from the Mishnah it would appear that the mitzvah is only applied by Yom, because the Mishnah only speaks about Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom. And then the Gemara says that Sudas Purim Shasso Ba'alayla Lo Yatzei Dehavos. If you have your Sudas Purim at night, on Wednesday night, after the Tanis, so the Gemara says that you're not Yotzei the mitzvah. So what does that mean exactly, that you're not Yotzei the mitzvah? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the opinion of the Rav Yoh, that you're not Yotzei the whole mitzvah by just having a Suda on Wednesday night. You have to have two Sudas. You have to have one Suda on Wednesday night, and one Suda on Thursday in the daytime, just like on every Yom Tov, you have to have two Sudas. On Shabbos, this is special, then you have to have Shalosh Sudas. That's a special mitzvah, Zeich Elamah. And on Yom Tov, the Chachamim were never Mechayiv, they were never Mesakin, the mitzvah Shalosh Sudas. So you just need two Sudas, one Suda Balayla, and one Suda Bayom. You don't have to have Shalosh Sudas. On Purim, the Chachamim were Mesakin, also two Sudas. One Suda Balayla, and one Suda Bayom. That's one opinion, that's the opinion of the Rav Yoh, one of the Balei HaTesis. The Rav Yoh was the grandfather, the great-grandfather of the Rosh. So his view is, quoted by the Marchai, that when the Gemara says in the first parak in Megillah, Suras Purim Shaso Balayla Lo Yotzei Dechevarsoi, means that that's not sufficient. If you just have a Suda only on Wednesday night, only on the night of Purim, that's not enough. You have to have one Suda Balayla and the second Suda Bayom. But Rav HaPoskim don't accept the opinion of the Rav Yoh, and they say that there is no obligation to have two Sudas like on Yom Tov. There's only a chiv to have one Suras Purim, and that Suda should be Bayom. That's in fact a common practice today, because the Suras Purim, the Rambam writes, the Suras Purim has to be a Suda Shel Simcha, and it has to consist of Basar V'Yayin. You have to have Fleishiks. The Rambam writes, if you're not Yotzei, if you have a Milchik meal on Purim, you have to have a Fleishiki Suda, and you have to have wine in the meal. And then the Rambam writes that the Halacha Vado Lo Yoda, that you're supposed to drink so much wine till you really, really get drunk, that's a din that you're only Yotzei in the middle of the Suda. If a person drinks a harum on Purim and he gets drunk, so the Rambam holds that you're not Yotzei. That's a Rav Avraham Soloveitchik always used to point out. You see clearly from the Rambam that the din of Avdol Yod is not a separate mitzvah. It's a chelik of the mitzvah of Sudas Purim.
You have to drink wine. Someone called me. It doesn't have to say to drink wine.
Livisume, yeah.
It doesn't
have to
say that.
You get
happy.
Yeah. It doesn't
have to say to drink wine. You have to get drunk.
The Gemara says Livisume v'Purim. Rashi says that Rashi and other Rishonim say Davka. Rashi and the Rambam and other Rishonim say Davka with wine.
The Rambam once said, "Our home in Baruch Mordechai it's a chluz." And you have to forget the other things. Not that you get drunk.
Yeah, that's one pshat they quote in the Shulchan Aruch. One of the Rishonim gives that pshat that he used to have a payit. That used to niggin, that used to sing on Purim, and one line used to be Baruch. Right, one used to be Aror Haman, one used to be Baruch Mordechai. So if he drank a little extra, so he's going to be a little tipsy, so he won't remember where we're holding in the Payet, won't be able to say it well. So then he yaitse the mitzvah of Adol Yah. That's one pshat that they quote in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. And the other is showing him loin kipshuto. You really have to really get drunk. There are more paskins that it means you should drink so much. A little extra, yosin mikafi hergeli, drink a little more than you usually drink till a person becomes drowsy, and then he should take a nap. He should take a nap on Purim after having drunk. And that's the shear of Adol Yod. Because when he's going to be sleeping, when he's going to have his nap, then he won't know anything. He won't know or Haman or Baruch Matzah. He won't know anything.
The Ramah holds it during the meal, or like the Ramah?
The Rambam says like that. Shulchan Aruch, they don't discuss that one way or the other. No, no. But the Rambam is pretty clear like that. The Rambam says that the halacha that you have to drink wine on Purim, he also holds like Rashi in the Rekeach, that you've only yotze if you have wine. You're not stam yotze with anything else. Chai binish levesumi v'puri means you have to drink after wine and get drunk. And the mitzvah of drinking the wine and getting drunk is only in the middle of the Suda. You have to have basam, you have to have yain, you have to have a lot of yain. That's the Rambam shit.
Because
we're not Yetzei.
But from a lot of the logical, you have to flush, and it seems that the night is just important to say, not most of it, it's
That's the question. What does that lashon mean? So the Netziv of Hershel Leib in his commentary on Chumash and Ahmed Gavor comments on that lashon. What kind of a lashon is that? Chayv Adam Likros and Megillah Balaylo Kul Lishanos Avayom, and he has to repeat it in the daytime. It sounds like the Ikik Kriyas Balaylo. So he says no, it doesn't mean that. He says that the Ikik Taisus says, and the Shagasar explains it. The Ikik Kriya really is Bayom. You have to lane Balaylo. That'll be sort of the laning. The first time you hear the Megillah, so you don't remember the whole story from last Purim, unless you were just learning about the Megillah Esther before Yontif. But if you weren't preparing yourself for Yontif, then the first time you hear the Megillah the night of Purim, so you're brushing up and you're getting the story straight. Then the next time you hear it by Yom, the limud will already be a more in-depth limud with deeper understanding. You'll understand it better. So he says, that's the mashmaras haloshin ulashanosa. Shinun means when you chazer over what you learned, then you understand it better. So he says, the mitzvah of reading the Megillah Leil Purim is only for the sake of having the Kriya, the Yom HaPurim, more enhanced. The Ikka Kriya, that's what Tosi says, the Ikka Kriya of Megillah really is the Yom HaPurim, on the daytime of Purim. And the reason why we read the Megillah Balaylo is in order that the Kriya Bayam should be the second Kriya, in order that it should be a Chazorah of the Kriya Balaylo, and a Kriya with more meaning and more depth to it. We should understand better what we're talking about when we read the Megillah Bayom.
In that case, you should make it a Shachriyonu Pakir the second day, not
the... So that's what the Rabbi in Tam says. We say Shachriyonu Balaylo, all right, we read the Megillah Balaylo, but we also say Shachriyonu Bayom. What are we so excited about? We just read the Megillah last night. So the answer is no, the Ikir Kriya is Bayom. So this Gemara, getting back to this Gemara, the Gemara says that one who has the Suda Balaylo is Layotze Yidei Chavos. So we mentioned there were two interpretations of the Gemara. The Rav Yoh claims that one is not sufficiently Yotze by just having one Suda Balaylo. You have to have two Sudas, one Balaylo and one Bayom. And the Shulchan Aruch, they don't really hold from that. They quote that Shita, the Ramah quote, there is one opinion that there's mitzvah to have a Suda Balaylo. And Rav HaRishon and most of the commentaries on the Gemara assume not so. You just fasted a whole day Wednesday, you had Tainus Esther, of course people are going to be hungry. But we don't assume that there is any mitzvah to have a Suda Balaylo Purim. The mitzvah is only Bayom. The haraya that the mitzvah of Sudas Purim, the Rambam writes, you only eat if you have fleishiks, you have to have basar, and you have to have yayin, you have to have a lot of yayin, yoisim ikifi hargelo. The Gemara says the expression, abdelo yada bin araham lebroch matzah, you have to have an awful lot of wine till you get drowsy, till you take a nap, till you get stone drunk, whatever the interpretation of the Gemara is. And we don't do that Bilel Purim. Some yeshivas they do, but it's not right. We don't do that. They don't have a fleishik Suda Bilel Purim. Most people don't have a Fleishik Suda, you have a Milchik Suda Bilel Purim. The Fleishik Suda only have the Yom HaPurim. That's because we hold our Lacha against the Rav Yoh. If we would be Choshish really for the Rav Yoh's opinion, we would insist on having two Sudas. One Suda Bilel Purim with Basar V'Yayin, and a second Suda Yom HaPurim with Basar V'Yayin. So we basically pass from our Lacha that the mitzvah of Suda is only Bayom. And it's based on that Gemara that the Gemara says that Suda Spurim Shaso Balayla Lo Yotze Yidei Chavos. So the Gemara says you have to have the Suda with the boss of the Yayin Dafke Bayom, based on that Gemara that the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quotes from other Rishonim that the Shalach Manos and the Matanos Lav Yenim has to also be fulfilled Dafke Bayom. He cannot be Yotze the mitzvah Shalach Manos Beleil Pur. So how come? Why should this be so? Why should I say that the mitzvah Kriyas HaMegillah, the Ikka mitzvah is really Bayom, and the Suda is only Bayom, and the Shalach Manos Matanos Lav Yenim is only Bayom, everything is only Bayom? How come? So that's what the Meiri comes and he gives the following explanation. He seems to say that the Yontif of Purim only begins by Yom, that the night of Purim is the night before Purim. Unlike all Yomim Tov Midaraisa, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh, that every day begins, every calendaric day begins Hayom Halach Achra Laila, Vahi Erev, Vahi Voike, Yom Echor. On the Jewish calendar we begin every day at night time. At nightfall, the next day begins. When it comes to Purim, because it had to do at this with a simcha, with a victory against the Goyim, but the Goyim, they don't use this calculation of Hayom Halach Achar HaLaila. Their calendar doesn't begin like that. But the Goyim is like a little faker. The Gemara says, by Umas Olam, is HaLaila Halach Achar HaYom. Today, the common practice is you go from midnight to midnight to establish what days is. But the Gemara seems to say that Ati Aloche, by the Umas Olam, you say HaLaila Halach Achar HaYom, that every day begins with the morning. You have the day and then you have the night that follows belongs to the previous day. So the Miri has this comment in Maseches Megillah that if it's the Yontif of Purim really begins by Yom. So when we read the Megillah, the night of Purim, That was really just warming up. We read the Megillah the night before Purim. It wasn't really Purim yet. It was Erev Purim. I was say Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach. It was really Erev Purim, the night before Purim. And we said Shechyonu when we read the Megillah the night of Purim, because we were excited. We haven't read the Megillah in a long time. Then when we read the Megillah on the morning of Purim, why do we repeat Shechyonu? Shechyonu goes on the Yontif. That's the Shechyonu that you say every time you have a Yontif. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you say Shechyonu even if you don't say Kiddush. Vaharaya, the Gemara says that on Yom Kippur, even though we're not reciting any Kiddush, you still say Shechyonu on the night of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says the same is true Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah. Anytime you say Shechyonu, when you say Kiddush, even if you're not saying Kiddush, you still say Shechyonu. The Gemara says Shechyonu Imra Afilu Bashuk. Even if you're walking in the street, you also have to recite Shechyonu. Even if you don't have any wine, you can be Yotzei Shechyonu. Shalai al akos, shalai al ayin. It's really unrelated to the Kiddush. Our practice is, the Gemara says, since we're going to say Kiddush anyway, so you may as well say the Shechyonu on Yom Tov and on Rosh Hashanah, and recite the Shechyonu also al ayin. You enhance the bracha by reciting in al ayin. But basically, the Shechyonu on Yom Tov is a bracha on the Yom, even not in connection with any Kiddush or any wine. So the Miri claims that the reason why we repeat the Shechyonu on Purim in the morning is because we have to recite Shechyonu on the Yom, on the Yom Tov. And the Shechyonu we said last night was not on the Yom Tov, apparently. The night of Purim is Gor Erev Purim. It's not yet Purim. What, the Shechyonu of the night of Purim was on the Kriyas HaMegillah?
Even though it was not the Purim.
Right. Rabbi Shulman Levi made a takona to read the Megillah the night before Purim. It's not really Purim. To read the Megillah the night before Purim. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, you have an opinion like that. And they tell you we reject that opinion. We know the Gemara says that on Purim you have to say Al Anisim. You have to say Al Anisim in Shemana Esrei, and then you have to say Al Anisim in the Benchim. If a person davens and he forgot Al Anisim, then he doesn't have to daven over again. Not on Chanukah, not on Purim. If the person benches on Purim and he leaves out Al Anisim in Benchim, then he's in trouble. Then it's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, and he has to ask his local rabbi how the rabbi passed him. There's one opinion that you have to bench over again, and one opinion you don't bench over again. A big machlokes. There's not really any hachra. You have to find out what the tradition is in that community. Whether you pass, you have to bench over or not.
You bench over again. When he finds out, come he ask the rabbi. He
has to call up on the telephone.
So the
Gemara has a din that when you daven on Chanukah and Purim, you have to say Al Anisim Shemoneh Esrei. So vos he's davening on Purim. When is davening? Davening haste Ma'ariv and Shachris and Mincha. There's no Musaf on Purim. So Ma'ariv, Shachris and Mincha, you have to say Al Anisim, the Al Anisim. It says you shouldn't begin Al Anisim.
Yeah.
It's a Hemshel. The Al, both in Birchas HaMazon. Right, both Chanukah and Purim. Both in Birchas HaMazon, Ma'ariv, Shemoneh Esrei. Al Anisim is a Hemshel. It's a continuation. Yeah, the Al Akosa, you say the Al Anisim. Yeah, so the Chafetz Chaim and the Aruch HaShulchan, they quote that it's wrong, that it's a misprint, that the printer left out the Vav. You should really say Vi Al Anis. That's another shita. They give different shitas. Why do you say Shechyonu in the morning if you said Balayla? So one opinion is the Rabbi Natan that the Ike Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. And that's what the Shagas Ari claims is the interpretation, that the Kriya Balayla is only Midi Rabbanon, and the Kriya Bayom, that's Midi Rekabol. The Kriya Balayla was only instituted by Rabbi Shulchan Aid. The Miri gives a different interpretation that the Kriya Balayla, the Shechyonu relates to the Kriya HaMegillah, and the Shechyonu Bayom relates to the Yontif, not to the Kriya HaMegillah. And this is a third interpretation given by other Rishonim, that the Shechyonu in the daytime doesn't relate at all to the Megillah. You should have in mind the Matanos L'Yonim and the Mishloach Monim. In Gansen related to different mitzvahs. So we are machmer to that. So when the Baal Kori says the Shechyonu in the morning, so the Shulchan Aruch, you should have in mind the mitzvah of Shalach Manas and Matanas Levyon. So getting back again to Al Anisim, so in Shulchan Aruch they quote that you have to recite Al Anisim in all three tefillos of Purim, both in Ma'ariv, and in Shachris, and in Mincha. And then they stress, unlike one opinion from the early Rishonim, that when one davens Ma'ariv on the night of Purim, he does not recite Al Anisim unless he has already read the Megillah. We normally first daven Ma'ariv, and then you read the Megillah. So the way we normally do, one opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that you don't say Al Anisim by Ma'ariv. It's not Purim yet. Why is it not Purim? Because they daven Ma'ariv mebod yom. No, they don't say they daven Ma'ariv mebod yom. They daven Ma'ariv at night. But it's not Purim. Purim begins in the daytime. This wild opinion of the Miri. Purim begins in the daytime, and the night of Purim is not. It's the night before Purim. Purim is only by Yom, not by Malam. Doesn't make it Purim. But since you already told the story of Esther, the whole story of Purim, so then you mention Alanis, even though it's not Purim. So you know what you're talking about. You mention you're alluding back to the Megillah that you've just read before. So Shulchan Aruch says that we don't pass him like that. The Ramo goes out of his way and says that when you daven Ma'ariv on the night of Purim, even though you didn't read the Megillah yet, you still say Al HaNisim. So what's the Chiddush? And then I said, Kalim, explain. That's what he's being Mechadish. To the exclusion of this opinion that says not so, that you don't begin to say Al HaNisim until the morning. And the only time you say Al HaNisim by Ma'ariv is if you first read the Megillah and then you daven Ma'ariv. So the Ramo says wrong that you say Al HaNisim right away, that we assume that Purim does begin at night. That's where we pass it. But there is a sheet in Rishonim, a wild sheet in Rishonim, that is not. The night before. Also, probably only if you read the Megillah already. So even though it's not Purim. Right. But since you read the Megillah, so Allah Nisim is relating back to the Mikra Megillah.
When they quote him, they might be. When would they? So they should say the Allah Nisim from the Urology. Because they said in Megillah.
They say Al HaNisim on Yudalit because Yudalit is Purim.
Yeah,
then the Stamad they'll say, according to this opinion, they'll also say Al HaNisim on the other day, on the day on which they read the Megillah. Right? In the days of the Mishnah, they had a practice, they had an institution that the people who lived in the little villages on the outskirts of the cities used to read the Megillah the Monday or the Thursday before Purim. Because it was too hard for them to come in on Purim and read the Megillah. Because these to supply food and water, food and drinks for the people who lived in the cities. So the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when they made the Takon of Kriyas HaMegillah, that we should read the Megillah on the 14th of Adar. And in Yerushalayim, in Shushan, they should read the Megillah on the 15th. So they also included in their Takon a clause that those, the Bnei HaKfarim, those who live in the little villages surrounding the cities who supply Mayim U'mazon, who supply food and drink, to the people who live in the cities on Purim, so they're going to be busy supplying food, so we give them a break and we allow them to be Yotze the Megillah earlier before Purim. But Purim is still on Yudalit for them. It's not that the earlier date is Purim. The Yotze Kriyas HaMegillah on an earlier date. So according to this opinion in the Rishonim, they will say Al HaNisim on both days. They will say Al HaNisim on Yudalit, that's on Purim. That's when you're supposed to say Al HaNisim. And also they will say Al HaNisim after having heard the Megillah, they'll say Al HaNisim on whichever day will be the Monday or the Thursday before Purim. Exactly. What if by mistake, let's say, somebody so used to saying Al HaNisim from Ma'ariv and Shachar Semincha, what if he continues to say Al HaNisim on Shushan Purim?
No.
So it tells Shulchan Aruch that that's not a hefsik. If I say today Al HaNisim and it doesn't fit in at all, the name Mark for the Esther, so then it's a hefsik in the Shemana Esrei. Then it tells Shulchan Aruch you have to daven Shemana Esrei. Moshe Lamal Devadam. Let's say a person says Yalav Yovah today, and he says Yom Chag HaMatzis Hazev, Yom Rosh HaChodesh Hazev. So the Taz says over there that that's a hefsik. Right, but if you have, let's say, all 4 days of Purim or the 2 days of Purim, you have Shushan Purim, then you have other Rishon, the Purim Cotton, and by mistake the person would say Al HaNisim on those days, and the Taz says that B'dayevit he wouldn't have to daven over because it really is Purim. It really is Purim on all 4 days, or the both days of Yudalot and Tezvav really are Purim, and it's a question: why don't you have to say Al HaNisim? Why B'dayevit? You have to understand the question is: why don't you L'chatzila have to say Al HaNisim? So the answer is no, that saying Al HaNisim is one of the mitzvahs hayayim, like reading the Megillah, like Shalach Manas and Matanas Lavyayim. So you don't have to do the mitzvah on that day. But if you go ahead and you do the mitzvah, you can't say that it's a hefsik in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. Let's say somebody wants to volunteer, in addition to having the Suras Purim on Yudalit, on Thursday, he wants to have the Suras Purim on Friday. Good? Okay. He's not... He was Yotze ready yesterday. But if he wants to volunteer another suit in Hechates, so the same thing if he volunteers to say Al HaNisim, no, Hechates, it's not a Hechates.
If the Rabbi goes after Yom Kippur, he would have to say Al HaNisim four times. You have to say the Ma'ariv, which you say after, and then we have to say the following day, you have to say Shacharis and then Ma'ariv again. Because the Ma'ariv of the 15 is part of the 14, which is part of 14.
Possibly, he doesn't discuss.
On Pesach Sheni.
He just says the Yom Tov HaPurim begins in the morning. He doesn't explain does it extend into the night or not.
Yeah. But every Yom Tov is a whole day.
Right. But L'chayr, every yanta begins by Laila and then goes into the yom. So he made up a new thing over here, that this yanta begins in the morning. So you're raising a question, doesn't mean that it begins in the morning and extends into the following night? So then you should say Alan Nisan to Meirev on Matzoi, what we call Matzoi Purim. We don't pass like this, Miri. We don't pass like this. But I doubt that the Miri would say that.
Well,
Reza Sheni,
what about
the Achir of saying the Agadah? Reza Sheni? Yeah. What if he said it? I mean, if you don't have Pesach. Even if he brings the Pesach Sheni, even if he lives Mana Migdash and he brings the Pesach Sheni, also has no mitzvah to tell Sipi. The mitzvah Sipi Tzitzim is only on Tetzvav Nissan. The only thing you have by Pesach Sheni is the Korban. Whatever relates to the Kum, is the Matzah and the Mor. That's all.
What you mentioned before about the Megillah being rash night, Matzah is a review for the morning. We don't say that, let's say, when it comes to Shabbos, that we would read the Pasha at night and then again in the morning.
Right.
But why should the Megillah be more than the reading of the Torah?
It's a very good question, perhaps Mishum Pirsumi Nisa, that the Chachamim want that people should understand better what's going on, so they should read it twice, so that the second Kriya would be understood.
People would come to shul if they would make it. It means he would say, it's Purim, big deal, I'll go to regular work, and I won't take over as good, because I'm down my house on place, that's it. But this way they have reason to come in order to congregate. No, and that was the idea behind the whole thing, that they should congregate again.
Could be. Yeah, that's the dispute in the Surah Spurim. So the Pashta says that the dispute is, can one be Yotze Surah Spurim without washing and without having bread? That's what the Magen Avraham says. But if there's a requirement, we know the Surah Spurim has to have Basa V'Yayim, that's what the Rambam says. Does it also have to have Pas? So the Magen Avraham says that's Machlokes. If he eats the Surah Spurim without Pas, then you could have eaten the whole Surah and said Barna Fashas at the end, so you wouldn't have to say Alam. So just because you happen to have made the mistake and you decided to wash, so therefore we penalize you, but if you didn't say Alam Nisim, you're not Yotze. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Okay. That's what the Magen Avraham says. And the Orach HaShulchan claims that it's not correct. He says that you definitely are not Yotze Surah Spurim if you don't wash, you have to have Pas. You're not Yotze any Surah Mitzvah. Let's say you go to a Bris and you want to participate, or you go to a Chasana or to a Sheva Brachas. If you don't have bread with them, let's say I washed at home, I had bread, then I come here, I don't have any bread. So number one, I can't bench here. You have to wash at the place that you ate bread. So you have to have at least a tiny little bit of bread in order to bench here. But that's not enough. A tiny bit of bread, you're not Yotze the Surah Chasana. You want to be Yotze the Surah Mitzvah, so you have to have Chotcha HaKazai, so you have to have a chunk of bread. Yeah, that everybody would agree. Any other Surah, for sure, you don't have to bench on. And then it says in Shulchan Aruch also, what if a person ate breakfast on Purim, and he benched and he said Al Nisim? And then when he has his big Surah Purim, then he benches and he forgets Al Nisim. So since he's already eaten the first meal in the day, and he did recite Al Nisim then, so he can rely on that Surah for the Surah Purim. He didn't have Basa V'Yayin there. So the Pasuk say, but the Yevid one is Yaitse without Basa V'Yayin. But the Rambam said that you have to have Basa for the Surah, and you have to have Yayin, and Adelo Yoda. That's all a Hidur mitzvah in the Surah. To enhance the Surah, that it should be fancier. But if you just have a tuna fish sandwich on Purim and you bench, then you yotze. So the Pasuk say, if he already had one meal in the daytime and he already did bench with Al Nisim, then he definitely does not have to repeat the benching for the second meal when he forgot Al Nisim. The Chloek is only is if that's the only meal that he had by Yom, and he forgot Al Nisim, is a yotze. So again, the Magen Avraham says that this Machloek is Achroinim, depends on the Shaila whether you need Pas or you don't need Pas. And the Orach HaShulchan claims that he has Rayas that it's not correct. And whenever you have a Surah Mitzvah and you want to participate like a Surah by a Bris or a Surah by a Chasana, by a Sheva Brachas or Surah Purim, so if you don't have Pas, if you don't eat bread with the meal, it's not called a Surah HaShulchan. So you're not yet to the Surah Purim for sure with that Pas. Machloekes Achronim is maybe Al Nisim is Makav and maybe not. It's not necessarily the same as Shabbos and Yom. That's what he explains.
Well, if you don't wash, but you ate a lot, so now you want to bench. So you can bench without washing.
No. We mentioned many times, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that if you ate cooked vegetables, you ate a lot, and you're full, that you have to recite Birchas HaMazon. We pass, you know, you can't recite Birchas HaMazon, and even if an error, The person says Birchas HaMazon, he has to bench over and say Bo Nefash. It's not yet to the Birchas HaMazon if he didn't have bread. Shabbos, if he had cake, and he said if he had cake, or if he had wine, and he said Birchas HaMazon, maybe for the Yevon he would be Yotzei, because the bracha achrona for cake and for wine is in abridged form. It's called Me'ein Sholosh. It's a kitzer of the Birchas HaMazon. So maybe if he says the Arichas, if he says the wrong version, maybe certainly Yotzei. So that's a machlokes about cake, and a further machlokes about wine. But about, let's say, a fellow drinks water, he just has plain cooked vegetables, has a whole vegetable salad, and he's stuffed. So then he's not allowed to recite Birchas HaMazon. And even if he did, he's not Yotzei, it's a bracha l'atola. He has to say over Bo Nefash. Yeah, has to say over Bo Nefash.
But this is a different machlokes as far as the Yeshua goes.
They're not really related. The Shekhyana, you mean? The Shekhyana. They happen to be the same opinions that the Rambam quoted by the Mechaber says that you don't say Shekhyanu for Tkiya Shofar on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and you don't say Shekhyanu for the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. And there are more quotes from the Tosfos that they disagree both by the second day of Rosh Hashanah. They're really different issues. They're really different issues. Not just the lechem, but the lechem makes it into a suda chashuva. You have to begin with lechem. In biblical times, that was the main part of the meal, was the lechem. Like in Europe, until recently, in Eretz Yisrael still, in the yeshivas, the bread is the main part of the meal. And then you eat a little bit with the bread. Yeah. Now it's completely, in America it's completely different. You eat five steaks and you don't eat any bread. It's completely different. But years ago, they couldn't afford so much steaks. So they used to eat a lot of bread, and then eat a little bit of flesh with, a little bit of fish with. Yeah. So that's why he claims, the Aruch HaShulchan claims to have rice. He has pretty good rice from the Shulchan Aruch, from Hilchas Shabbos, he brings rice. That you're not Yotzei Asudas Mitzvah unless you have pas. That's what he says. When you go to a Sheva Brochas, you go to a wedding, or you go to a bris, so he says you have to have the after pas. There are several dinim related to the Kriyas HaMegillah that I'd like to repeat, that I'd like to chazer over. One din that's important to remember is, the Gemara has, that the Kriyas HaMegillah has to be Meter HaKsav. That you're not Yetzir Megillah Leinen unless you read the Megillah from a cloth that was written Kedin. If I'll take a printed Chumash and I'll read the Megillah, so I'm not Yotzei. So if the Baal Kori is reading from the Megillah Esther, and I have a chumash in front of me, I shouldn't mumble along, I shouldn't say along the word. I should keep quiet and rely on Shamei Kohanim. I should listen to the kriya of the Baal Kore and the Yotzei with his kriya. What happens if I miss a word or two and they clap home and I miss something? Mm-hmm. What happens if I come into shul a minute late? The Baal Kore already said the brachas and he already started the first pasuk and I'm a little late. So it's going to be, I'm going to have a hard time if I'm going to have to go get the Baal Kori to lane all over again for me. He's not going to want to lane specially for me. I have to go run to another minion. So there is an eitz in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says the following din. If I have a Megillah Sester that has a few words rubbed out here and there, so even though I'm not reading everything Meter HaKsav, I'm reciting some of the words Baal Peh from memory. Most of the words are written and I'm reading Meter HaKsav. And a miut, a minority of the words, are being recited from memory. So the Gemara says that that's okay. As long as Rubo is Biksav, the miut that I recite Baal Peh is okay. So in Shulchan Aruch they say, what happens if the whole Megillah is Biksav, but I missed part of it? The Baal Kori lanes and the kids are clapping home, and they're making noise, and I missed the whole phrase. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, I have to hear or read the Megillah with all the words in the right order. I can't just wait till the Baal Kori finishes the whole Megillah, and then I'll say the phrase that I missed. I'll say the pasuk; it'll be out of order. But if I'm up, I heard the whole Megillah till Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph, whatever. I missed Pasuk Aleph. So if I say quickly Pasuk Aleph from my printed Chumash, so I have the whole Megillah till Perek Tes. Then that was Meter HaKsav from the cloth. Then I'll read this pasuk or I'll recite this phrase Baal Peh. I'll say it from a Chumash, from a printed Chumash. That's the same as Baal Peh. Because that's not a klap, so that's not called Meter HaKsav. And then I'll pick up, and then the Baal Kori, I'll be able to hear the Baal Kori for the next pasuk, so everything will be in order. I heard the first eight parakim from the Baal Kori, I heard the first pasuk in the ninth parak, I said myself, Baal Peh, from a printed Chumash, and then from then on I'll hear from Baal Kori, that's okay. As long as the majority of the Megillah will be heard from the Baal Kori who's reading Meter HaKsav, who's reading from the klap. So the same dreidel, the same kunst, the Mishnah Guru, the Chafetz Chaim writes, the same dreidel applies if I come into shul late, I come into shul and the balkar is ready in the second pasuk. So I should quickly say the three brachas, Amikra Megillah, and Shalasa Nisim Mishachyanu, and quickly take my printed chumash, if I don't have a kosher Megillah, and start reading the first two psukim until I catch up with the Balkari. And then how much did I miss from the Kriyas HaMegillah? A few psukim, but there's going to be a longer Megillah ahead. There's the majority of the Megillah out here, Mitech HaKsav. So the Mishnah Berurah says that that's okay. You don't have to run dafka to another shul. There's nothing wrong if you recite the part of the Megillah Baal Peh, as long as the robe of the Megillah will be heard, Mitech HaKsav. So I should say quickly the bracha about to myself. I should say my own bracha, and then while I'm saying the bracha, he's probably going to be reading the pasuk already. So I should say quickly that pasuk because I'll miss it. I'll miss the first few words, and then I should say quickly until I catch up with him, and then I should keep quiet and listen to him. So we'll have the overwhelming majority of the Megillah I will hear from the Baal Torah who's reading from the cloth. In the miut, I said Baal Peh, so that's kosher. That's okay. That's the Gemara. Also, the Gemara says that if you have a mistake in the Megillah, so it's also kosher, as long as the robe of the Megillah is written properly.
You're listening anyway, you're not reading yourself.
Yeah.
If you were reading yourself, you'd have problems, right?
Also no. The Gemara says also no. Let's say, I'm reading from
the same as reading out of a sefer, can you mix one of the other with it?
Yeah. As long as the robe of the Megillah is kosher, is nifta behechsher. Then I have a mistake in a few words, so the Baal Kari recites it, Baal Peh, he says it the right way. In fact, the Gemara even has the further din regarding the Megillah, that even if the Yerushalmi has this, this is not found in the Gemara. The Talmud, the Yerushalmi, adds on the following din, that even if the Baal Kori makes a mistake in pronouncing the words, he mispronounces the words slightly. If he says, let's say, instead of Yehudim, he says Yehudayim. That's the way it's written in the Megillah with two Yuds. But you're not supposed to pronounce the both Yuds Yehudayim, you're supposed to pronounce Yehudim. What if the Baal Kori made a mistake and he read Yehudiyim? So the Yerushalmi says that you don't have to repeat the Pasuk because the Megillah Sester is referred to in the Megillah as Nikris Sefer v'Nikris Igeris. It's referred to as Igeris HaPurim Azos, and it's called V'Nichtov BaSefer. It's called a Sefer comparable to a Sefer Torah. Has some dinim similar to a Sefer Torah, and it has other dinim similar to a letter. When you write a letter to a friend, so even if you have a couple of mistakes, you're not so medactic. You have to read over the letter and correct each and every error. But when you read a letter, so it's not the same as when you're learning from a sefer. It's not such a serious issue. So you read from a letter, so you make a mistake, as long as you get the gist of what's going on. So the Yerushalmi comments that since the Megillah is considered, is called, Megillah itself refers to itself as Igeris HaPurim HaZos. This is Igeris, this is a letter. So if the Baal Kori made a mistake which is not Mishana the Inyan, not a major mistake, instead of reading Yehudim, he read Yehudiyim, so one is Yotze B'Diyevra. But the Shulchan Aruch says, what if instead of reading V'homan Nofil, he says V'homan Nofal, he changes it from past tense to future tense, or future to past tense, that's already considered a major error. So then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, then you have to repeat the pasuk. This din is quoted in Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. What if on a regular Monday or Thursday or on a Shabbos by Kriyas HaTorah, the Baal Kori makes a mistake? So the Rambam's opinion is that on any slight mistake whatsoever, you have to lean over the Kriya. You're not Yotze B'Diyevid if the Baal Kori makes a mistake. This Kula that the Yerushalmi has, that if he made a mistake which is not Mishana the Inyan, is Nishgefela, this Kula is limited dafka to Kriyas HaMegillah, based on the Pasuk, the Nikris Igeris, it's called the Igeris HaPurim Azos. But regarding Kriyas HaTorah, or regarding Kriyas HaTorah, the Maftir, the HaTorah, there you don't have such a cooler. That's not called a Geras. That's a Sefer. Nikra Sefer means you got to lay it with seriousness and with correct precision. If not any, without any mistakes at all. And the Shulchan Aruch, they paskin against the Rambam. And the Chabad, the Shulchan Aruch writes, in the name of other Rishonim, that just like by Nikra Megillah, we allow mistakes. As long as they're not Mishana the Inyan. The same is true regarding Kriyas HaTorah. Even if there's a, if the Baal Kori made a slight mistake, as long as it's not Mishana the Inyan, you don't have to lay it over again all year long, by all Kriyas HaTorah and by all HaTorah. But the other din, let's say if there's a mistake in the klaf, let's say you have a Sefer Torah that has a slight mistake, but the whole parsha is written correctly. There's just one word that's misspelled. It has an aleph instead of a hey, or it has the word is missing. So there, that kula that the Gemara says that as long as Rove of the Megillah is written behechsher, even though the miut is written in error, but you don't have to lay it over again, but that's okay, you can lay from this Megillah, That's Beferish only a Kula in Megillah. That's only because Nikri Sigeres. That Kula doesn't apply to a Sefer Torah, nor does it apply to other Nevi'im Uksuvim. Let's say they're reading Koheles, or they're reading Echo from a cloth. So if the cloth is missing a word, it's missing a letter, so you may as well read it from a printed Chumash. You don't accomplish anything by reading from a cloth if it's possible. So the only time it'll be kosher is if it has each and every word written, each and every letter. Only Megillah says that you have that Kula, that if it's Nichtav Rubo, that it's kosher, that's based on Nikri Siger. But in Shar Sifrei Torah and Nevi'im Uksuvim, that Kula doesn't apply. You have to have Nichtav Kula.
That's what my point is.
If he makes a mistake in Kriyin Siv, then he's has to lay off. That's Ezra Shulchan Aruch, yeah, sure. If he makes a mistake, that's the halacha of Moshe Messina, Kriyin Siv. Right, that's considered Mishana Deinyan. Even if it doesn't look like a Shinu Hayinyan, even if it doesn't appear to us to be a Shinu Hayinyan. Kriyin Siv is a separate halacha of Moshe Messina, that the Kriyin must be like this, the Ikuva.
And also read it by his Zechariah. You have to read the whole pasuk over again? Or do you just have to say that phrase over?
That's a shaila that we discussed. Let's say a person made a mistake in Kriyas HaTorah. And when he goes back to correct it, how far back does he have to go? So when we learned the second parak in Brochas last year, we came across the fact that there were three opinions in poskim. One opinion is you just go back to that word where you made the mistake, and you start from that and you go right. And the other opinion is no, you must go from the beginning. You have to go back to the beginning of that pasuk and reread the whole pasuk. And the generally accepted opinion is that of the Balatanya, that you have to begin from the phrase which contains the error and go back to that phrase. So that's what Soloveitchik says, that based on the general minhag olam, that we follow the Balatanya, that you don't have to reread from the very beginning of the pasuk whenever you made a mistake. Just go back to the beginning of that phrase. And that's what he says, that by Kriyas Parsha Zohar it's sufficient. If you want to just read over Timcha Zecher, Timcha Zecher Amal, Timcha Zecher Amal. Just read that phrase twice and then you go right. You want to be mahadir, so then of course it's nicer to read over the whole pasuk whenever the Balkari makes a mistake. But Migar Adin, we hold that you don't have to.
Also, that's enough, if you didn't hear a part of the lining from Balkari, does that apply?
No, that's also only, that's a special din of Kriyas Megillah. Yeah, that's clearly only Kriyas Megillah, right. The only point that's under Machlokes, there are three dinim here, right? There are three dinim. There's one din that to be yotzei the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, all you need is that we should hear row from a cloth. If you say the miut from a chumash, that's okay, as long as everything is in the right order. So that's only applicable to Megillah, doesn't apply to Kriyas Hatur. Then the second din also only applies to Mikra Megillah, that as long as the row of the Megillah is written, even if a miut of the words are rubbed out, so it's a kosher Megillah to read from. So that's also only limited doctrine to Megillah. It doesn't apply to any other kriya of Torah, Nevi'im, or Ksuvim. And the third din is the machloikis, and that's what we're make of. That if the Baal Kori made a slight mistake in the Kriyas HaMegillah, which is not Mishana the Inyan, so then the Rishami says that he's Yotze, and the Rambam says that that also only applies to Megillah because Nikri Sigerism doesn't apply to Kriyas HaTorah HaFtorah, and there the Shulchan Aruch is make of. No, but that din applies even to Kriyas HaTorah HaFtorah. But as long as the error that the Baal Kori made is not Mishana the Inyan, so you don't have to lay an over again.
Last year you mentioned that when everybody reads one word wrong, that there's a creek sit on a certain word.
Shorir.
Yeah, it's Shorir.
Yeah, they quote it. Belzer Rebbe held that it's a mistake. Instead of Lios Kalish Shorir, but they say you should say Shorir. He claims that that's what it says in the Masor. Others say that it doesn't say that in the Masor. Yeah. He says that's what you have to say, not Lutvax. No, he says that's what everybody has to say. And others say that it's wrong, that if you look in the Masorah, it doesn't say that. And that's the talk, the Masorah doesn't say that. We have the Masorah. If you look inside, you'll see the way you can interpret the Masorah, the way the Belzer Rebbe said, the way you can interpret it otherwise.
Shorir means to be boss, though.
Well, the boss, yeah. It means the same thing anyway. Whether it's Sorir or Shorir, it's going to mean the same thing. The only question is, what's the correct pronunciation? In some communities, they have a meaning that the Balkara reads over some of the phrases in the Megillah, Lahashmin Vilaharag, Lahashmin Laharag Liyadev. Or lifnehem, lifnehem. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Iker Adin, you don't really have to lay it over because even if you read it wrong, it's a Torah that's not Mishana Dinyan. So in Kriyas HaMegillah is the favorite that it's not Ma'akid. And in Sefer Torah it would be a Shaila. But in Kriyas HaMegillah is not Ma'akid. It's already a Chumrah. It's already a Chumrah that people started that if there's a suffix, what the correct reading should be, so you read it over twice.
Is it more bitter when you go back to the beginning of the puppet, or the cause of the accent in that
one? No, not.
Always.
Right, but the no, it is a shaylah hefsek in the middle of the pasuk because you repeat the phrase.
Right.
It is a better here.
Yeah.
It does confuse them. It confuses them very much when they start learning from the beginning of the pasuk. The balabatim don't know what's happening. Nikaradin, that's what I said. Nikaradin, you don't have to lay over any psukim in the Megillah. And even if it's lifneim or bifneim, so you yaitse b'yavid with the wrong one. Because it's not mishanadin. And those places where they want to read over, where they have such a minig, so in order not to confuse the balabatim, it's recommended that they should just lay over the phrase, not to lay over the whole pasuk. Lay over the whole pasuk so they won't be able to find the place for the next 10 psukim. Most people won't be able to find the place. The Mishnah has a din regarding Kriyas HaMegillah, which we do not practice today. Mishnah has a din that runs as follows. This is the way the Shulchan Aruch interprets. There are different opinions, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ramban's opinion, that if a person understands the original Hebrew, then he can only be Yotze Mikra Megillah if they read it for him in the original Hebrew. Most of the Megillah is in Hebrew, except for a few words here and there. Halachash Darpanim. This is a Persian word. These are also Persian words, but most of the Megillah is in Hebrew. So if a person understands the original text of the Tanakh, he can only be Yotze in the original. If a person doesn't understand Hebrew, then he can also be Yotze in the original. That's what the Mishnah says. If I let that person doesn't understand a word of the Megillah, so if he hears his Yotze, granted this is a big Shaila, why? There's a Mishnah that is Yotze. The Shaila is, why is a Yotze? There's a Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos and Brachas, that you apply Shomea Ke'oine if you don't know what in the world the other guy's saying. Let's say somebody says Kiddush on Shabbos and I don't understand the word of the Kiddush. I know it's Kiddush. I know more or less, I know what the theme is of today's Shabbos, and it's a Yom Kiddush and you're not allowed to do Malacha, and we thank Hashem Yisbrach for giving us Shabbos, but I don't know what the words mean. So Rashi's opinion is, so what? Shomea Ke'oine, you heard the words, so you yotze with the other fellow's kiddush. And Tosfos sheet is quoted in Shulchan Aruch against Rashi. He passed like Tosfos against Rashi that that's not called Shemeya. Shemeya means number one, Shani Shomeya, I hear. Number two, Shani Mevin, that I understand. Like you say in Hebrew, Tashomeya. Tashomeya means do you understand? Means do you hear and do you understand? So Tosfos says you can only apply Shemeya Koine if he's both Shomeya Ba'oznov and Shomer Shehu Meivin Bemocha. If he doesn't understand the language, he can't say Shomer Kohen.
And the one that's saying Kiddush also must understand?
No. The one who recites Kiddush is Yotze in Hebrew. Hebrew is the international language. If he recites Kiddush in English, no.
Because
he's not Shomer. He's not Shomer. He's saying Kiddush. The one that says Kiddush, he said Kiddush. But he's not a Shomer.
But the only is also on the same level as he is. They both don't know what's going on.
But if I don't understand Hebrew, I'm not even a Shomeya. Let's say you say Kiddush and I'm deaf. I'm not Shomeya, I can't hear a word. So what if I'm not deaf but I don't understand the language? That's not called Shomeya. That's what Tyson says. Shomeya means two things. Number one, Shani Shomeya Bo'oznai, and number two, Shani Mevin. If I'm not a Mevin, then it's not called a Shomeya by definition. That's what Tyson says. And that's what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that you only apply Shomeya Koine if the fellow who's listening Taka can hear. He hears all the words, and number two, that he understands what the words mean. And if he doesn't,
because you know, he didn't know at the time, they didn't understand. You know, so still, you know,
they understood Hebrew, but they didn't know the nusach. They didn't know the words. But
they didn't know at the time.
They spoke Hebrew. No, they spoke Hebrew. That was the spoken language. They spoke Hebrew. They just didn't know what the text is because they didn't have a siddur. It was originally was forbidden to write down the Siddur, because the Siddur was considered a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh. And even when they wrote down the Mishnahs and they wrote down the Gemara, they still didn't write down the Siddur till later, till the days of the Gaonim. That's why you have the Siddur of Avamam going, the Siddur of Sadi going. The Gaonim were the first ones that wrote down the Siddur. And the Baal Hamor writes in Rosh Hashanah that he remembers as a child they still didn't have Siddurim where he came from. They used to daven on Rosh Hashanah Baal Peh. They used to daven Rosh Hashanah Baal Peh. The Malchus Zochen Shavuot, they didn't know, and he says most of the people didn't know. They couldn't say. How could they say Malchus Zochen Shavuot? 30 Pesukim say he said they didn't. He said he remembers as a child that the Balabatim didn't say Malchus Zochen Shavuot. They just said like a Yontav Dikeshman Esrei to Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. They said the first three brachas everybody knows by heart, till Akel Hakodesh, from its day till the end everybody knows, and in the middle they made a Nusach Hatav Hatan Kol Ham Haftar Son Atzisad Bonu Atitan Lo Yom Azikorn Azeh. Yom Tov Mikra Kodesh is some Yalla V'yoba V'hasi Yehu. That's it. They said like we would say on a Yom Tov, and then you put in the Karbonas. That's all. The Karbonas is not so hard to figure out how to say Karbonas. But the 30 Psukim with the Malchus HaNeshavos, that's difficult. So the Balamor writes that as a child he remembers that the Balabatim didn't say Malchus HaNeshavos. Even for Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, they said the same Nusach that they said for Shacharis and Minchay Meirav, only seven brachas. The Chazn had a Chazn Zachayin before Rosh Hashanah, the 30 Psukim, and he used to say the Malchus HaNeshavos and be Moitzi the Kohol. And then the Balamor says later, when he was an older man, they brought Sidurim from Babel, from the Yeshivas. They were Mater writing down the Nusach of Malchus HaNeshavos. When the Balamor was a child, they weren't yet Mater in his community. That was an Issa, that was considered a Chelik of Perush Baal Peh. Balamor lived pretty late. Balamor lived in the 1200s, no? Way after Rashi and Tosfos.
Sure.
Balamor lived in Provence. Balamor learned Bechavrusa with the Ravid.
With the Babel,
in France, it's in between France and Spain.
The Chazorah Kashat, she molested, is for those who cannot read Hebrew and Oxford, but assuming that they understand.
That they understand Hebrew, right.
Otherwise, it's not a Yotu.
That's what we pass, and whoever doesn't understand the language cannot be Yotu with Shemer Konya. If I daven myself, even if I don't understand, so I'm Yotu. But if I'm not davening myself, I'm relying on Shemer Koine, so if I don't understand, I can't be able to. That's why he says, let's say a woman is listening to her husband recite Kiddush, and she doesn't understand Hebrew. So he says she should really say along the Kiddush with the husband. The husband says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, das Hashtein Aleph. That she knows what that means. Then he says, Hashem Kiddushanam in the Tzoyis of the Ratzavano. Then she gets lost, and says, she should say along softly with her husband, the whole middle nusach of the Kiddush. Then when it comes to them, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh HaShabbos, then she probably will understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Mekadosh HaShabbos. Baruch Atah Hashem, she knows. The Kaddish, Kiddush, Kodesh, Kedusha, Shabbos, she knows. So that she can rely on her husband. But the middle of the bracha, it says in Shulchan Aruch, she should say along with her husband, if she doesn't understand Hebrew, that's based on the taste. Omen is not good enough. Omen is only based on Shemer Koine, and if she doesn't understand the Hebrew, then there's no Shemer Koine. That thesis is on the first daf in Shloisha She'ochlu in Brachas. Masechet Brachas on Omen base. On the first Omen base in Shloisha She'ochlu, thesis quotes Rashi. We don't have the Rashi anymore. Thesis quotes that Rashi says you do say Shemer Koine, and they disagree. And in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Birchas Hamazon, they pass him like thesis that there's no Shemer Koine. If you don't understand, it's not called Shemer. So Tosis points out, though, the one, where's Rashi's Raya? How does Rashi know that you do say Shemer Koine, even if you don't understand? So Rashi brings the Raya in the Megillah, that it says Mefurish in the Mishnah Megillah, that if I hear the Megillah in Hebrew, and I don't understand a word, it says Mefurish that I'm Yetzer. So you see, with the one exception of Mikra Megillah. So now the Mishnah has a din. If I don't understand Hebrew, but I hear the Megillah in Hebrew, so I'm Yaitze. That's a Chiddush. I'm Yaitze. Tosfos says, based on the Gemara, that's a special exception to the rule of Shemer Koine, even though he doesn't understand, Pirsumi Nisa especially. But what happens if somebody will translate the Megillah into English? They write the Megillah in English, but the Mishnah says, I'm also Yaitze. If I understand that language, if I only understand German and I read the Megillah to me in English, it's written in English, I'm not Yotze. If I only understand English and the Megillah is written in German, then I'm not Yotze. But the Mishnah says, Kora giftis le giftim, umadis le madim, the Ivanis le Ivanim. If they read it in Greek and I understand Greek, they read it in Persian and I understand Persian, then I would be Yotze. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch raises a question, isn't that a good idea? Why shouldn't we talk to translate the Megillah into English so that the women will understand? That's what I say. So the women will understand. The shift of blame. They mean the men should understand, not the women. The Balabatim, they're embarrassed to say the men should understand. They say so that the Noshim should understand Mikra Megillah. Why don't we translate the Megillah into English today? We have it translated. You have several translations. So why don't we write the Megillah on a cloth, Behechsha Megillah, And we should write it in English. What exactly does that mean? We should write it in, and we'll all be yaitz, and we'll all understand. It'll be better. We'll understand. Oh, so that's a detail machlek is what that means. Does that mean that you write it in English letters, in English characters? Or does it mean, as the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, that you transliterate it, you write it in Hebrew letters with English words? And it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, Aleph Nun Dalet, and it, Aleph Yutes, came, Kuf Yud Yud Mem, came to pass. Okay, so that's a Shiloh. Maybe, okay, so let's do it like that. Okay, whatever you hold, either you write it in English, or you write it in Hebrew letters, transliterate it. You write English like Yiddish. Yiddish is German in Hebrew letters. So you do the same over here. You write English in Hebrew letters, the same kunst. So why don't we do that? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the tshuva of the Ran and the Mivosh were contemporaries. So the Ran and the Mivosh both discussed this einfall, this topic, why don't we make such a new takana? Wouldn't it be better that everybody should hear the Megillah and understand what's going on? Why should you rely on a kula that Taisa says is really a kula? That you really in Kol HaTorah kula, you don't allow Shamea Koine if you don't understand because you're not a Shamea. The only reason why you allow it by Megillah, it's only Pisuminis of the Alman, Nishgefelah. Why not translate the Megillah into translation? And the Mishnah says it's perfectly good, Lamahadrim and Amahadrim, and everybody should be Yotze like that. So the Ran and the Rivosh both come up with the same idea. They say, we're not Mishana. If our forefathers always did it like that, so what do we have to go look for trouble? If that's the way they did it for 1,000 years, so we continue to do it like that. You can never tell. You may translate a word wrong. What are they so nervous all of a sudden? You want to translate the word. You get an art scroll. What can be, has the endorsement of all of Gdoli HaRabbanim? Or you get a better translation, a worse translation. Whatever you want to get. So what's the problem? You get the Mizrahi will give their translation. The Agud will give, what's the problem? The answer is, what do you have to go look for trouble? If the din is that you yetzi in Hebrew, and that's the way our grandfathers did. That's what our great-grandfathers did.
Yeah, but
what,
you
want to
make people who cannot understand the yetzi.
Right.
And you're trying to bring Torah to...
Yeah, yeah. So that's what the poskim say. We don't do that. The same idea was encouraged.
We don't do it.
We encourage them to try to learn. Oh, you'd be yotze lechatchila. You'd be yotze lechatchila, not b'diyeva. But the Ran recommends that we shouldn't be mishana. Yeah. But the Ran recommends that we shouldn't do it. On a cloth, no, if you print on papers, no, yeah. You have to have a cloth, and then you'll have a machloek is how you should do it. Should you write it in English letters, or should you write it in Hebrew letters, transliterated from the English? All right, so you'll pass him what the din is. So the Ran is quoted, the Tshuvas Ran, written to the Rivosh, is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, that we don't do that. We're not Mishanim and Hagim. This is the way our forefathers always fulfilled the mitzvah. So that's the way we fulfill the mitzvah now also. This is
the same way that you do it. You have the siddur on one side, English, and Hebrew. Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah, that's okay. We're davening in Hebrew, and then we want to know what it means. So you're looking at translation. So that's
the
what.
Same thing to the Megillah.
Megillah, good. So while the Balkari should read slowly, we should look in a translation and follow in the English translation to know what he's saying. Rather than change the whole oifen of Kiyam HaMitzvah, even though it's perfectly legitimate al pidin, according to the Mishnah, it's mutala hatchila, maybe it's even preferable, maybe it's even better that you should understand. So nevertheless, the Ran, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, says, no, we shouldn't be Mishanim and Minhagim. And this was the taina that all of the Rabbanim had when the Reform Rabbanim were from Rabbanim originally, when they started off, it was ganz good. They wanted to change the davening into English. Into English, they speak English, into German, into the vernacular. So what the law is a mutar rasa? So the Gemara says that b'yochid, you're not supposed to daven in any language other than in Loshna HaKodesh, but b'tzibur, hein kel kabir lo yemos, HaKodesh Baruch Hu is einam ois b'tfilos harabim, kabir means the rabbim, he will not be mois b'tfilos m'shal rabbim. So the Gemara says the rabbim, the tzibur can daven in translation also, and Hashem Yisbaruch will receive their prayers, he will accept their prayers. So the original founders of the Reform movement, what did they reform? What did they change? Their first shina was that they wanted to daven in the vernacular. That was perfectly legitimate, that the tzibur may daven in the vernacular. So all of the rabbanim, the chasam seif and all the others, they quoted this Ran, that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that we shouldn't be mishana. So one of the tainis they threw in was that there's a mitzvah to speak Hebrew. It's a Rambam on Pirush HaMishnayos on Pirkei Avos. He writes, "Havizor b'mitzvah." The Mishnah says, "Havizor b'mitzvah kala kevachamura she'ein ato yadeya matan tzchor mishal mitzvah." So the Mishnah says, "You should be careful. You should be medactic to fulfill even insignificant mitzvahs with the same care as one has when he's fulfilling important mitzvahs." So what's an example of a mitzvah kala? What's an example of a mitzvah chamura? So the Rambam says, "Mitzvah chamura." Tzitzis, tefillin, shayfer, sukkah, lulav, we know all the mitzvahs that we're familiar with. What's a mitzvah kala? So the Rambam gives a marshal, ledabi b'loshen ha-kodesh. A neglected mitzvah, and no one speaks Hebrew. If you live in Eretz, you speak Hebrew. But those who live in Chutzlars, we don't speak Hebrew. So the Rambam writes, that's one of the mitzvahs ha-tera. The Gemara says that there's a din of chinuch, that a father has to train his child to do mitzvahs. When the kid knows how to shake a lulav, you have to shake a lulav with him. The kid knows how to put on tefillin, you have to buy him a pair of tefillin. The kid knows how to put on a talus, you buy him a talus. When the kid knows, when the kid begins to speak, aviv medaber imo b'loshen ha-kodesh. What does the Gemara have that in the braisa on the last daf in Lulav HaGozel? The Gemara has a braisa with all the different ages for chinuch. Whenever the child is able to fulfill the ma'isa mitzvah, the father has to train his child to do that mitzvah. So one of the mitzvahs that the father has to do is aviv medaber imo b'loshen ha-kodesh. You see from the Gemara, the Rambam writes, you see from the Gemara that to train the child to speak in Hebrew is one of the mitzvahs ha-tor. That's one of the mitzvahs. The Tate Kenish. So this is one of the tainas that some of the Rabbanim came up with. They said that we shouldn't be Mishana the davening from the original Hebrew into translation, because then everybody will completely neglect Hebrew. Chotch like this, we speak Hebrew 3 times a day. If we're going to daven in translation, we won't speak. Okay. So many Rabbanim Taina, that's one of the reasons why they shouldn't change the translation. We want to encourage everybody to learn a little Hebrew. But the main Taina was this Ran, that the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the name of the Ran, that we fulfill the mitzvahs the way our forefathers did. Well, that was originally composed in Aramaic. That was originally composed in Aramaic. That's why it's only recited when you have a minyan. When you don't have a minyan, you don't say it, because the yochid, a person cannot pray in any language other than Hebrew. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. This is a recurrent theme in many tshuvas of the poskim. They say that we fulfill mitzvahs the same way our forefathers did the mitzvahs, and we don't try to be mishana liyoyfen asiyus hamitzvahs. But the only thing is you have to determine what's considered a shinoi and what's not. Let's say if my father mispronounced Hebrew, my grandfather was from Galicia and he pronounced like that, and I don't talk like that, I'm an American. So after Dafke pronounced the same Galiciana Havora that my grandfather did, so we assume that that's not called being Mishana de Minhagen. Or let's say, well, my grandfather davened, he used to daven with a long jacket, he never had a short jacket, a kapata. So you say that I have to Dafke daven also with a long jacket. So some perhaps would say yes, and many Rabbanim say no. We assume that that doesn't constitute one of the Minhagi Yisrael. When you daven, you have to dress up nicely. Whatever is considered dressing up nicely in that country. So in America, you wear a short jacket. There's no requirement dafka to wear a long jacket. Who is to determine what's considered a minig and what's not considered part of the minig? So the poskim say this is not up to the Balabatim to determine. This is up to the Rabbanim to decide. They say even if it's a minig that's so widespread, which piyutim you say, which nigudim you sing, and so on. So they say it's not up to the balabatim to determine what's a minig. It's up to the gedolei ha-Torah, up to the rabban to decide what is a minig, what's not a minig. Not just because they used to do something like this, doesn't mean that that's a minig, because they had this nigin, because they said this and that. Sometimes it is a minig, sometimes not. You have to determine.
The whole word davening comes from the word diavur. The word davening, when you count it davening, what is the Hebrew word? It comes from the word teavod. We do what our parents did, what our fathers did.
Uh-huh. So this is one of the reasons why Rabbi Soloveitchik is so opposed to the women's minyanim and the women's hakofis and the separate kriyas ha-Torah that they have, and the women scream from, they can scream from today till next day that it's not a minyan, it's a prayer group. It's the same thing. It's a tefillah. The same thing. What's atfilah? Atfilah Yiddish, that minyan, the same thing. They don't have 10, so if they have 9, so they have 11, so they have 5. Lemaisa, they're breaking off and making a separate group to daven or to read from the Sefer Torah. And they never did that in Europe. And we've been around for a long time, since the days of Maimon HaSinai. The Kol Yisrael has been around. And the women never broke off to make their own minyan. They always daven together with the men. Oh, no. When Zamnishgi can, no. When Zamnishgi can, they did break off. In Europe, the women didn't understand Kriyas HaTorah because they weren't educated. So they used to go make a separate group, and they used to have a forelaner who would read the Tzeneverem. And the women didn't know how to daven, they weren't educated, they couldn't read Ivrit, they didn't know how to daven. So they had a forzogger who would say the davening for them. When they didn't know how, Taka, they had a separate, not a minyan, they had a separate tefillah and a separate prayer group. They had to, because they couldn't daven with the men. But Baruch Hashem, this man said, the women are more educated than they ever were. They know how to learn, they know how to lane, they know how to daven, they know how to follow the Balkar, they know how to follow, they can follow with the Rashi and everything. So there's no reason at all why they should have their own minyan. What's wrong with it? So Rav Soloveitchik says, even if there weren't anything wrong with it, what's wrong is this run, that all of the poskim say based on this run, that we should continue to fulfill the mitzvahs in the same form and fashion that our forefathers fulfilled the mitzvahs. Now, forefathers, whenever the women could follow the davening, they could follow the laying, they didn't make their own. In the hakofis, they could have always made their own hakofis, and they never made their own hakofis. You see that wasn't the minik. Was it tefillah? Sure, it was a tefillah. The women had to sing separately because of Kol Isha. I think the Mefarshim say that because they wanted to sing with an Egan. That was a spontaneous tefillah. No, they should not go.
They should.
Yeah.
You've been in
there are different ways to do it.
Sometimes,
or as they go out of shul, sometimes after they go out of shul, you get 10 men together.
Can't you have an advanced set of Miranda? But
Baruch Hashem now is so advanced they can follow Kriyas HaTorah. So let them stay in shul. No, so let them stay in the shul and hear the Kriyas HaTorah. Let them be Yetzir Kriyas HaTorah.
They can't understand. It's too fast for them. Sometimes the Balkara leads us so fast that we can't follow it. But they said that it goes from a slow pace.
But that's not the reason that they did. They can follow.
They have some time. The reason for us that a woman was allowed to get the leash.
Yeah, the Mishnah says that a woman may get a woman.
That was taken away from them.
Yeah.
So now maybe we're trying to get back a little bit.
Oh, but the Gemara says it's not sneezed. It's a different thing.
But the Mishnah repeats that they can count.
Meikar Adin. It doesn't say they used to have. It says Meikar Adin, a woman may get an Aliyah. If there's no man who knows getting Aliyah in the Taser, the Mishnah means that she would lane. But the woman would be the Balkar. And then the Gemara says that it's not covered at Tzivah that she should lane. That it's improper. Yeah. But it's not that the minig was changed. It says that originally the Din was always like that, but it was never practiced like that. This is one of the reasons. Rav Soloveitchik has a whole list of reasons. You can buy, if you buy the Beis Yitzchak for $4, you find a whole 17-page essay explaining all of the reasons why Rav Soloveitchik is very opposed to the women's tefillah groups.
Yeah, but they were the second class, you know, the women years ago, but now it's
the women in the days of the Talmud perhaps were in the second class. But then already in the days of the Rishonim, yeah. No, that's still Bizman Azeh, still Behuyim Shalom. That's still a sin, yeah. But no, that's supposed to be part of the marriage. No. But already in the days of the Bali HaTesis, you read in the essay, already in the days of the Bali HaTesis, as is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, they already treated their wives completely differently from the days of the Talmud. The Gemara has a din regarding Pesach night, that a wife in front of her husband doesn't have her seber. She doesn't lean over on the side. Because her seber shows that you're a free man, and the women are not so free. Unless she's an Isha Chashuva. Unless she's an independent woman, then she does have to have her seder. So Shulchan Aruch, they quote in the name of the Bali HaTesis, that Nashi Didan, all of our wives are Nashim Chashuvas. The Bali HaTesis say that they, all of the wives in the days of the, by the Ashkenazim, perhaps by the Sfardim, not, is a different attitude, different culture. But the culture by the Ashkenazim for many, many years, since the days of the Bali HaTesis, that's 1,000 years already, was that they were treated as Nashim Chashuvas, they were independent. And they didn't do Haseba for a different reason. We want to discuss a different time, because the Rav Yo, a whole different time war. So the Maisa, the women were independent. And still, they didn't have their own Hakolfas, they didn't have their own Kriyas HaTorah, they didn't have their own Tefillah groups. So that's one of the main reasons why Rav Soloveitchik, why Rav Moshe Feinstein, those Angazant, are both opposed to these Tefillah groups, along with many other reasons.
Also, they pray this, so they make
Avad, Avad. Well, that's the main reason why they're against these shinuyim. That if you make one shinuyim in a minor detail, it most probably will lead to other shinuyim. We have seen in Washington Heights, in the prayer group in Washington Heights. I know some of the girls who used to pray there. They really went off pretty far. They really went off very, very far. They start off with one slight shina just by having a vibration in you. What's so bad about that? It's alpi halacha, it's completely oizgehalten. And if they don't say the brachas, and now they've gone on, they say brachas levat tole over the haftarah. They say bracha erftan ali, which is complete bracha levat tole. There's no bona fide Orthodox rabbi who will say that you're allowed to say a bracha erftan ali. A guy who knows how to learn will not say that. And Amoritz will say like that. The din is that if a woman wants to have, the women want to have their own tefillah groups, they want to lay, they cannot say a bracha after the aliyah. They cannot say a bracha before the aliyah either. If they're saying Abba Rabba, so they're Yotze Birchas HaTorah. And they're supposed to say Birchas HaTorah before they start saying Baruch Shomar. The whole thing is a farce the way they have it. So first of all, it's Kineged Adin. If they didn't say Birchas HaTorah in the morning, and they didn't say Ahava Rabba. Yeah, but Rebbeinu Shlom, they do say Ahava Rabba. And if you want to train the women to daven properly, and these women know how to learn, they went to school, they know this stuff, so teach them the proper thing. They should say Birchas HaTorah before Baruch Shomar. That's the proper thing. So why don't you tell them that secret, that they should have said Birchas HaTorah before? Then there's no room to say a bracha before their aliyah, quotation marks. The imitation aliyah. And they're not Yetzir, the Kriyas HaTorah. So you send them to a different place so that they shouldn't be Yetzir. Let them go to shul, they will be Yetzir, Kriyas HaTorah. Why should they settle for an imitation Kriyas HaTorah? Go to shul, they'll be Yetzir, real Kriyas HaTorah.
Suda, he didn't answer that. He said, well, that's something else.
Yeah, what do you mean? Ten women want to get together?
He objected to have a minion in a shoe.
Yeah.
But in the home, where you have a suda, it's not, it's more or less of a...
My daughters every day, they daven a vibration minion.
So they go to school.
Of course they're permitted. What, I'm going to ask my daughters to go wake up for the 6 o'clock minion or for the 7 o'clock minion?
No.
So they're not going to wake up for either.
And then women can have a group of women to, at their home to have a minion.
Provided, no, but if they're going out of their way to go to a minion anyway, to go to a tefillah group anyway, and at the same time that they have their tefillah group, there's a davening in the shul, so they should daven in shul. Why do they break off? So in such a case, that's what Rav Soloveitchik is marking on. They shouldn't break off from the shul.
Some women, supposing they can't go to a synagogue, they have to take care of children. They want to go for the entire service to teach that there's no husband, there's no man around the house.
Yeah.
They're the one they want to shunt. They want to teach the children because they had their a woman found there are no husbands. So therefore, they take advantage of having their own little groups so that the children should be able to. They're too small to go to a synagogue.
So you have to figure out in each and every case whether it's good or not. You have to figure out all the details. Who are all the people who are going to the minyan?
The women. Not the men.
You have to find out who are all the women who are going to the minyan. All the women who go to the minyan are people who cannot go to shul.
Yeah, young women, young children.
No. And how do they get together? So if they can get together, so why can't they go to shul with the same money? Why can't they go to shul?
There's an older man in Brooklyn, there's a very old dressed woman. She
can you go to shul? He said,
Yeah. The Shulchan Aruch has, based on the Gemara and the Rishonim, that although one can really be Yotze Kriyas HaMegillah b'Yechidus, let's say a person is in the hospital, he's sick, or a woman gave birth to a baby, whatever, and they can't go to shul. So even though, strictly speaking, one can be Yotze Mikra Megillah b'Yechidus, but still it's a mitzvah l'chatchila to have the Kriyas HaMegillah with a minyan. Why? To have more persumimus. There's one opinion in the Gemara that it's really me'akev, that even though each and every person is obligated to hear Kriyas HaMegillah, but you're not Yotze unless you have a minyan, and that opinion is not accepted l'alach, but l'chatchila, you should always try to have a minyan of 10. Regarding this minyan of 10, the Shulchan Aruch says there's a machlokus in Rishonim whether women are mitzurif or not. Because this is not a minyan for the purpose of the Dovah Shebikdusha. It's not that they're going to say Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch Hu. The idea of this minyan is, in order to have Pesumin Yisro. So maybe it constitutes Bisumi Nisa, even if you have 5 men or 5 women, or if you have 10 women. So that's a machloikis. How do we paskin? So the Rambam says, Yesh lehistapik. He's not sure how we should paskin. So what's the significance of this? So the practical relevance, halacha l'maisa, is twofold. Number one, let's say if 10 women have the option of either getting together to read the Megillah on their own, one of the women will read for the other 9, or they can all 10 can go to shul where there will be 10 men. So since l'chatchila there is a mitzvah that everybody should hear Mikra Megillah Basara, and the Ramah writes that we are not sure how we should paskin. We always should go the chumra here that maybe the 10 women do not constitute the pirsumi nisa that we require l'chatchila for the Megillah. So therefore it's more correct and more proper that the 10 women, if they have the ability, if they can't, they have little babies and have no brera, so b'leis brera, so they have to hear the Kriyas HaMegillah without 10 men. But if they can just as well, without great difficulty, if they can go to shul and hear the Mikra Megillah, there are going to be 10 men present. So then the proper thing is dafke to hear with 10 men and not just to lay in the Megillah with 10 women alone. That's one difference. Then in Shulchan Aruch there's another difference. The halacha says that when you read the Megillah, the brocha harovis reveinu v'hadonis dineinu v'hanoikim misnikmasenu is only recited at the conclusion of Kriyas HaMegillah if you lay in v'asorah. If you lay in the Megillah b'yochid, let's say I lay in at home for a chayla or a zokain, you don't recite the brocha of harovis reveinu following the Mikra Megillah. So what if you have 10 women, all the women in the building, in my building, all the women have little babies, so they have to stay home when their husbands go to shul. And then one balkorah lanes for all the women altogether. But you have 10, 15 women, but you don't have 10 men. So the halacha says that you don't recite the bracha harovis reveinu. So whenever possible, of course, the women should go to shul. So they should hear the bracha harovis reveinu. If they're not going to have a minyan of 10 men, they'll be missing the bracha of harovis reveinu following the Kriyas HaMegillah. There was a machloikis in Eretz Yisrael between the Chazon Ish and the Briska Rav regarding this din of Kriyas HaMegillah Ba'asora, that l'chatchila we require dafke to lay in the Megillah with a minyan. What does that mean exactly? Does it mean that you should have one person laying and the other 9 people should listen and be yoytzer with Shemei Kohen, so they're all connected together? Everybody's Mitzuref Yachad by virtue of the fact that one is laying and the other 9 are listening to him. So then it's called Kriyas HaMegillah Ba'asora. Or no, let's say you have 10 people in a room and everybody has his own Megillah and everybody's screaming out, everybody's reading the Megillah on his own. So that's what Rav Velvele said. If you look in the Rambam sounds like he says the Feirish, that too is called Kriyas HaMegillah Basar. Not only if one lays the Megillah and 9 listen, if all 10 people are reading the Megillah independently, you're also yaitzeh this Hidu L'chatchil of Kriya Basar, and you can also say that Bracha HaRavish Rivenu at the end. You don't dafke have to have like by Kriyas HaTorah. By Kriyas HaTorah it wouldn't be good. Let's say by Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos on Monday or Thursday, each one of the 10 people in the shul macht Shabbos vazif, each guy lanes from his own sefer Torah. That's no good. The only way to fulfill Kriyas HaTorah is by having a balkorei lane and 9 people read, listen to him lane. And by Mikra Megillah was a machlokes. You mean they finished davening Ma'ariv already? Probably not. Probably. Some people make a mistake. The Mishnah says in Megillah explicitly that Kriyas HaMegillah is perfectly okay if a person sits. There's no need to stand even as a lachatchila. The Balkorei is a machloket. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of the Rambam, who is a machmir, that the proper thing is that the Balkriya should stand and they cover that tzibur. But the other people in the tzibur, there isn't any chumre at all. Even though the Maharam Rutenberg had a chumre, Aminus Chasidus, that Bishas Kriyas HaTorah, one should stand, even the people who are listening to the Kriya should stand. But by Kriya HaMegillah there isn't even any mitzvah l'chatchila. The only shaila is regarding the bracha, right? So there's one opinion in Achreinim, the Machtzis HaShekel, on the bottom of the Magen Avraham claims that everybody has to stand when the Balkorei recites the 3 brachas in the beginning and the bracha Harovis Reveinu at the end. And other Achreinim disagree very strongly, the Pnei Yeshua and others, they say that it's not so. Pnei Yeshua says that it's wrong. He says the only time you have to stand when you say a bracha is when the bracha is recited in the connection with a mitzvah, that you have to stand for the mitzvah. So as part of standing for the mitzvah, you have to also stand for the bracha recited in connection with the mitzvah. But if the whole mitzvah you can do sitting down, l'chatchila heta gamur, there isn't even a minis chasidus to stand for Kriyas HaMegillah. It's a Mishnah. Akoras HaMegillah oimed v'yoshev. It's a Mishnah Megillah. It's permissible l'chatchila to read the Megillah seated. So then the Pnei Yeshua and many poskim following him say that it doesn't make sense to say that there's even a hidul l'chatchila to stand for the Birchas HaMegillah. I remember for many years when I was a little boy, I was out of town. The Baal Batim never stood for the brachos. Only when I came to New York, the first time I ever saw it, that people stood for the brachos on Megillah.
By the person standing for the Megillah.
I was born in Pennsylvania. All the shuls of Pennsylvania. I don't remember that anybody stood for the brachos.
But if the person stands for the Megillah, she can stand for the brachos also.
Yeah, same thing. If you want to stand, but there isn't any heder. You're not accomplishing anything.
Yeah, just do a kavana.
If a person feels they have more kavanas, I've added it. The Gemara in Shabbos comments on the pasuk in the Megillah Esther that it says that the Bnei Yisrael at the time of the Nes Purim came of the Kibul Aleihem Al Zaram Diviat Somus V'Zakosim. They accepted upon themselves the observance of Purim and the observance of the fast days, the three fast days that Esther requested of them that they should fast. So the Gemara takes this pasuk and they reinterpret it. They say came of the Kiblu. They made a new Kabbalah Sator that although the Bnei Yisrael at the time of Maimon HaSinai were forced in Kabbalah HaTorah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up Har Sinai, and he threatened that if you don't accept the Torah, he's going to bury us alive, Kofalein HaKigigis. And he said, if you won't accept the Torah, Shantei Kurasfem, nevertheless, Hoda Kiblu B'Meach HaShverish, later, in the days of Mordechai Esther, they accepted the Torah out of their own free will, as it says, Kimu B'Kiblu, Kimu Mashi Kiblu Kvar. They re-accepted the Torah that they'd accepted at Har Sinai. So all of the Mefarshim comment on that Gemara, what is Shver in the Pasuk? The Pasuk reads smoothly. Kim of the Kibbal Aleim Azam Divyak Tzemis V'Zakov, and they accepted the Yontav of Purim and the Tiny Sester and so on. Where do you see even a Remes Kovduhu in that Pasuk? That there were Mekabalah Torah all over. The Gemara has this fantastic idea. There was a new Kabbalah Sator. We spoke on several occasions that the whole Yontav of Purim is a Yontav of Kabbalah Sator. That's what the Sudas Purim is, like a Suda Legemer Shator, when you make a Siyam Sichte. And on Shavuos, the Gemara says, everybody agrees, Hakol Moedim, that you have to have a Suda on Shavuos, because it's Yom Shenitnu Boter. So how does the Gemara come to make such a drasha based on the Pasuk, Kim of the Kiblu? Who state this in the Verta, Kim of the Kiblu? So the Maharal in Prague has a famous comment, in one of the Svarim, on this drasha in the Gemara, which many Rabbonim also quote in connection with the women's tefillah groups that are now developing. So the Maharal in Prague has the comment. He says, no, the Pasuk says that they are Masakan a new mitzvah, Purim. But he says it doesn't make sense to make a new mitzvah if you're not fulfilling all the old mitzvahs. First you have to make sure you're fulfilling all the Taryag mitzvahs in the Torah. Then you can go weiter and add on a mitzvah of the Rabbanim. But if the people are not medactic in the old mitzvahs, then what should I have to make new mitzvahs? So the Pasuk, the Pashup Shatan Pasuk came of the Kibbutz, they accepted a new Yontav of Purim and a new mitzvah of Shalach Monas Matanas Lav Yainim and Suras Purim and a new mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah Metalagut Zachen. But in order to enact a new Takana de Rabbanon, they had to make a new Kabbalah Sater. Otherwise, like the Gemara has a mashal, a woman who's dressed up and she's wearing all of her clothes and she wears jewelry on top of it, then she looks even more beautiful. But if the woman is naked and she just has on the jewelry, like the joke that they used to tell about the yeshiva bracha that they told him he should always wear a tie, so he always wore the tie. So once there was a sreifa in his house, and he was in his pajamas, so they said, you got to go run for your life. So he ran to get the tie to put on top of the pajamas. If you're not wearing a shirt, you're not wearing a suit, so what are you going to wear, a tie? A tie on pajamas. So that's what the Gemara has a lotion. The woman is naked, and she's wearing the jewelry. So she looks more ridiculous. She doesn't look more beautiful by wearing jewelry. If she's wearing clothing, and then you have the jewelry on top of the clothing, is mato. So that's what the Maharal in Prague says. If you fulfill all the dinim that we've had in the past, and then you want to enact new Minhagim Tovim, that's wonderful. But if the people who are organizing these Minhagim, in many places, unfortunately, but many of these places, the people who are organizing these women prayer groups are women who are not medactic in all the dinim that they're supposed to be medactic about. So they don't daven every day. They just get together once a month to daven when it's their turn to daven for an hour. They don't daven every day. So what do you mean? This is not called the Minig Vasikin. The Gemara always has an expression, a Minig Vasikin. Minig Vasikin means a Minig which is instituted. By Vasikin means Chasidim v'Anshei Maisi, people who are so imbued with Yira Shamayim that not only do they fulfill all the mitzvahs that are obligated upon them, they even volunteer above and beyond the call of duty. But if they're not fulfilling all the original mitzvahs, so you can't have any kibbutz or kibbutz, you can't introduce nor new mitzvahs if you don't fulfill the old mitzvahs.